Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. And I tell you what, it's such a privilege to be with you guys. I so appreciate Messiah Church for years. It's been really something, just this church has been really precious to me. I'm so glad that you guys for many years have had a vision for healing, for miracles, signs and wonders, for the Holy Spirit, the move of the Spirit. Now, y'all haven't lost that, right? No, how many of y'all want to see more of that, right? Amen. And so anyway, we've had different healing meetings here and healing trainings. How many of y'all have come to one of those on Saturdays? I mean, we've had hundreds of people that have come through these doors. And I just want to first of all say thank you to Messiah, to the leadership here for opening your doors to allow the sick, the people who want to know more about healing to come. And so it's an honor, it's a privilege to be with you guys this morning. I think this is the first time I've been with you on a Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. And so anyway, some of you may have not met my wife before, but this is my wife, Beth. Beth, would you go ahead and stand up? And some of y'all asked me during the healing seminars, is your wife coming? Where's your wife? And so up until now, she's probably been the mystery woman. All right, but now she's here in person, front and center, amen? And so I also want to welcome our guests, Rodrigo and Al, all right? They drove all the way from Chantilly, Virginia, all right, to be here. And isn't that great? Because they heard God is moving in this place, right? Come on now, all right? And so it's just great to be here and to see what God is doing. And, you know, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was just really telling all of us, don't be satisfied where you're at. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep moving and pressing in to the anointing, to the power of God, the Spirit of God. And so, if you would, just everybody, just lift up your hands. Let's once again, let's just yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit, and just continue to welcome Him and, you know, not put on the brakes, not to get nervous, but just yield, and let's just continue to press in this morning. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the season that we're in. This is a glorious time. And Father, today we press in to the plan of God. We press into the Spirit of God. We press into the presence and the power of God that's living and residing inside of us and also that's present here in this place today. And Lord, I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. And Father, I thank you for ministering to each one, Father, that will not leave the same way that we came. But Father, we thank you for a greater outpouring of your anointing today, an outpouring of your Spirit. Lord, we thank you that there are new moves. There are fresh moves of God that we've never experienced before, new things that we've never seen before. And so, Father God, I pray for this church, for this local assembly, Lord, that we would move and press in to everything that you have for us in this season today. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said, amen. 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 Come on, can we give a little shout this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, so I'm excited about the time that we're living in. You know, my wife and I were We've been blessed to travel, and, you know, as the Pastor Mark said, so many things are happening in the nations, and, you know, we've been traveling for a number of years in a number of different nations. We were in Central and South America. We were in Europe. I was in Europe for a time and a season, Africa, India. And then about 10 years ago, the Lord really changed our assignment, which is to reach the Muslim world. And so how many know that Jesus loves Muslims too? Amen? And so it's really been an amazing journey to see what's happening over there. You're not going to hear it on the news. You know, you're not going to see it on the news, you know. But all over the place, you know, Muslims are having dreams and visions with Jesus. Muslims have just at most places that you go, the mosques have shut down. People are not going to the mosque. After being under Islam for 40 or 50 years, they've decided, you know what, we don't want anything to do with it. We don't want anything to do with it. We've seen the hate, the violence, the terror, everything. The people have seen it for what it is, and they're rejecting it. And so it's an amazing, really an amazing time. We're talking about the last move of God, right? I mean, the Muslim harvest, 1.8 billion souls coming into the kingdom. All right, and so when I was reading Isaiah 60 verses 7 and 8 a couple of years ago, when the Lord changed our assignment, it reads there that the sons of Ishmael shall come in like a mighty cloud, and people will say, "Where did this cloud come from?" And that's what's happening right now. And so I just returned from Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Just a few weeks ago, and we had services there. People got saved, people got healed, people got set free, you know. And there were people there that said to me, they said, "We didn't even know that Jesus heals. We've never we had three or four churches that came together and they invited folks, okay. But the church people said, even over here, you know, our pastor just reads a liturgy, you know, a prepared sermon to us. But we've never heard a message about healing." I said, "Oh my gosh, okay." I mean, you're talking about Jesus went about teaching. Everybody say teaching. Preaching. And healing. And so you're looking at what Jesus went about doing, okay. Teaching, preaching, and healing, and yet you go overseas, and they're like, "We've never even heard a healing message before." And so they were so hungry to hear the word of the Lord, to hear about healing, and they, you know, many of them received healings and miracles and different things. And so, over the last 10 years, the Muslim world has really opened up to us. I have more invitations that I can even, you know, go to, you know, at this point. But I know this is that once many of you are familiar with the Abraham Accords and that President Trump initially brokered with, I believe, five Muslim countries in Israel. There's going to be an expansion of those accords, not, you know, in the near future here. And so when that takes place, all the Muslim world is going to open up to the gospel, okay? And so, just get ready. Just get ready for what's about to happen. And of course, hey, the United States, you know, we're also in this, right? This great plan, this great revival. How many of y'all believing for a great revival? Come on, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all remember some of y'all know because of the age factor. Age is good. Okay. All right, we've been in several moves. But some of y'all remember the charismatic revival, come on, in the 70s. All right. If you came in into the charismatic revival in the 70s, just wave your hand, go woo 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 woo. Okay. All right, just making sure you're still alive, okay. Now, how many of y'all experienced a move of the Spirit in the 80s? Woo! Okay, woo! Okay, check that. Woo!
I was stubborn. I was supposed to do it in the 70s.
Okay, all right. Well, you didn't get to, it wasn't too late. You didn't miss the boat there. So, well, how many are ready for a move of God today? Hallelujah. Say, woo, 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 woo. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we can have fun in church, and we should, right? And so I'm excited because of what's coming is going to be far greater than anything that we've ever seen before. Let me say that to you. What is coming is going to be far greater than anything that we've ever seen before. How many of y'all believe that? Amen? Come on. The Bible says that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. Yeah, y'all are still too quiet this morning. In other words, the best is yet to come.
Yes. Yes, and besides that.
Yes, according to the rabbis, this is the year of Jubilee. Amen. Where we sound the alarm. It's God's release. God's release. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 1 and Acts chapter 1. And so as you're turning there, again, I just want to encourage everybody, get ready for what God's about to do and what he's doing even now. We're not just waiting for revival. We're already in revival. Amen? Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, over the last couple of years, now last year I turned 60 years of age. I'm still young. I'm halfway there. All right. And but you know, over the last couple of years, I've been just two prevailing thoughts that I've had just going on in my mind and in my spirit, and that is that that for the time that I have left here on the earth. Now, I'm not expecting anything to change in the near future, okay? But for the time that I have left here on the earth, I want to bear more fruit than I ever have before. Now, I don't know if that's your heart, all right? I want to bear more fruit than I ever have before. And even though this might be a season, a different season of my life, it doesn't really matter because the Bible says that, you know, we go from faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory, okay? And so maybe in times past, I saw more fruit than I see today, but you know what? I've got my faith out there that I'm going to bear more fruit in those latter years, okay? The time that I have left than all the previous years combined. How many of y'all have that same desire this morning? How many of y'all say, you know what? I want to bear more fruit. I want to do more things for God. I want to be at the right place at the right time. I want to be right on track. I'm going to be at the forefront of this move of God. I'm going to dance like David danced, okay? I'm going to move like David moved. I mean, I want to be right there at the forefront of what God is saying and what God is doing. How many of y'all say yes and amen to that? Okay, and so the second thing that just been going on in my spirit is this, is that I want to, for the time that I have left, I want to finish strong. How many know it's not how you start, but it's how you finish, all right? I want to finish my race. I want to finish my course with strength, with strong, with stamina, with endurance, okay? I don't want to be limping. You know, I don't want to be crawling at the finish. Man, I want to be strong. Strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You know, the Bible says, as our years are, so shall our strength be. So as your years are, come on now, as you accumulate more and more years, guess what? Let's get stronger and stronger and stronger. Stronger on the inside and stronger physically. Come on now. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, let's look at some examples in Moses, you know, 120 years of age, and then, you know, and then we've got Caleb, you know, climb the mountain. Give me another mountain. You know, I'm just as strong at 80 as I was at 40. I mean, you know, I mean, that's the kind of examples that I like to follow. How about you?
Amen.
You know, that's Bible examples. That's covenant people, all right? How many of y'all are covenant people this morning? All right? So as our years are, let's all say it, as my years are, so shall my strength be. See, I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you're already looking better and better. All right. Someone would say you're already looking gooder and gooder. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, so we're going to look at some scriptures this morning, and you know, I was in Texas just back several months ago, and I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and he was he's been pastoring for a number of years, and you know, his church is going pretty well, But, you know, he's just kind of, just not satisfied. Just not satisfied where he's at. And so he said, can I ask you, you know, your advice about some things? And so we began to talk about his church, begin to talk about his vision and different things like that. And I said, well, what is it, Pastor? You've got a good congregation. You've got, you know, a solid, you know, leadership and all of that. And he says, well, I just feel like there's more. I feel like there's more than I'm supposed to do. I said, well, like what? Like, well, you know, he's like, I don't know, more. Like, just more. And I said, okay, well, do you feel like you're supposed to travel? You feel, yeah, I'd like to travel. I like to be able to get out, like to go on, you know, some mission trips, do some pastor's conferences and other things. And I said, it just doesn't, I don't know that my church is ready for that. I don't know that some of the leaders are ready for that to step up, you know, if I'm gone, different things. And, so he was just kind of going all over and over about, you know, the team that he had and different things. And so he said to me, he says, so what do you think about all this? I mean, how would it look if I did this? And I said this to him. I said, Pastor, this is what the Holy Spirit says. It's all about the assignment. It's all about the assignment in this season. Forget whether your pastor, whether it looks like traditional, whether it looks like, you know, I mean, because she's trying to fit a certain mold as a pastor. Like, well, I'm supposed to be there every week, and I'm supposed to be the person. And I said, wait a minute, but on the inside, something has changed, okay? On the inside, all right, God is trying to convey something, all right? And you know that there's something there, but you're just not sure how to do it. And I find today that there's so many people, whether they're serving as pastors or whether they're just believers sitting in a pew, they know that there's more. They know that there's more that God has for their life. They know that there's gifts that they could be using and they're not using. They know that there's just a lot more that God wants them to do, maybe step into, that they've never stepped into before, and yet they're just sitting, you know, coming. They're faithful people. They're coming week after week after week to hear the word of the Lord, but they're not doing anything. They're not being about their Father's business. How many understand what I'm saying this morning? And so the title of this message is, it's all about the assignment. I believe that when COVID hit, it was a wake-up call for the church. Now, we know that God didn't send that. You know, sickness comes from the enemy. But I believe that it can be used, in a sense, for the church to wake up in, like a church reset, like the body of Christ. Like, okay, maybe we should go ahead and examine where we're at as the body of Christ, as the church, and are we really fulfilling the assignment? Are we really about the Great Commission or what? Are we really about reaching the lost or what? Or whether we're just more centered on our church programs? Are you with me this morning? And so let's look at some scriptures. We're going to go through some things today, and so we're going to have some fun. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Paul writes this. He says, if you can continue in the faith, everybody say, you better continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast and being not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard and was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I want you to notice this phrase right here, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Now, another translation says, which was preached to the entire world. Now just think about the statement that Paul's making. Paul says, continue in the faith, don't be moved away, but he says this gospel, which was preached to every creature under heaven. What Paul is stating is that in his generation, every creature under heaven, every person in the Roman Empire, in Asia Minor, every creature, every person heard the gospel. Now, that's quite a statement. That is quite a statement that Paul makes. And I say to myself, how was that possible? Now, I was reading a couple years ago about the statistician. He was talking about population and demographics in the preaching of the gospel, okay? And he was looking at every generation, how many people were on the planet, you know, how many, and he went through all the generations, you know, since Jesus and looked at the population, and this is the conclusion that he came to. He said our generation, the generation that's alive today, we have a 25% better opportunity to reach the entire world than any other generation previous. And you think about the technology, all right, the travel, all right, what we're able to accomplish. I mean, the social media. I mean, you know, you just go on and on to the technology, okay? So we have a much better chance, all right, of reaching this generation for the gospel than any other previous generation who's lived before. Now, I don't know how that hits you, but it excites me. It excites me because the Bible says, you know, one day we'll stand before the Lord and we'll give an account. We'll give an account of what we've done, all right, for the kingdom, all right? And so wouldn't it be great if you and I were in that line, okay, and Jesus is looking at us, he goes, oh, yeah, you're the generation that completed the assignment. You're the generation that won the world for Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of applause from our master, right? And say, well done, thou good and faithful servants, okay? Wouldn't it be great if we're the generation, all right? We're the generation here on the earth that preaches the gospel, just like Jesus said, the gospel shall be preached as a witness, all right? And all the world will hear the gospel, okay? Now, we have a lot of work to do, all right? I was in Morocco last year, and so there's a pastor that I met, and he'd come to a pastor's meeting, and so he traveled far and wide, you know, and he was telling me, well, you know, I travel 10 hours south, all right, into the Sahara Desert every single week. And there's tribes down there that their languages haven't even been translated. In other words, there's people groups that their languages haven't even been translated. And so he goes, listen, I'm taking them the word of God, but I have to sit down and I have to translate their language, okay? And so he goes, I